My name is Alicia Good, and along with my colleagues, Pastors Kendall and Charlene Yoning and Harder here at the front, I'm one of the pastors here at this church. And today we're going to do something a little bit different for our sermon. We're going to do an interview. I'm going to interview Sharon Das, who is living with me as my host daughter this year, and my joke is that I feel like I'm too young to be her host mom, so I need to be like her host sister. So we're going to do an interview together and learn more about Sharon's experience here in Canada after coming from India, and hear a little bit more about the Mennonite Church in India and what that's like as well. But I just wanted to comment for a moment on the text that we read this morning from Isaiah 6. This lectionary text has been read around the world for hundreds of years, and it's part of this prescribed readings for today. So many different churches are reading this text today. But what's really interesting to me is that this text actually means a lot to me personally, because when I was 19, I traveled to South America through Mennonite Central Committee, MCC's SALT program, Serving and Learning Together. So I spent a year living with a host family and volunteering in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, and I attended Principe de Paz Mennonite Church, where some of our guests are actually from today. During that time, Isaiah 6, this passage we read this morning, was really a deeply meaningful scripture text for me. It really felt like I resonated with Isaiah's experience of being so afraid and so unsure and just not really knowing what he was getting himself into, and yet also being willing to step out and to take a risk and saying, okay, God, I don't know what this is going to be. I really don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm here. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to put myself out there and take a risk. And so I decided to do that. And it was an amazing experience that I'm deeply, deeply grateful for in my life. So the SALT program sends volunteers through MCC every year from North America, Canada, and US. You need to be a young adult between about 19 and 30 years old, I believe, to apply for this program. And the goal of the program is to develop relationships between people of different cultures in order to help build intercultural understanding and build peace by doing that. The idea is that by getting to know a person from a different culture, it breaks down stereotypes and helps people to see the world in a different way. And it really did that in my life. Now, I spent 11 months living and volunteering in Santa Cruz de la Sierra, Bolivia. I didn't know any Spanish when I first went. I learned it quickly in order to converse with my host family because they didn't speak any English. And I volunteered at a daycare for low-income families. It was called Guarderia Moises. And it was actually a ministry of the Bolivian Mennonite Church, the Latino Bolivian Mennonite Church, to help support low-income families and children at risk by giving the kids a free, low-cost meal during the day. They gave them a good, solid lunch. They gave them an ESL program. And they gave them just good quality child care so that the parents could go and work during the day and then come home again to pick up their kids in the evening. It helped to actually keep the family together because some of those parents had actually been bringing their children to an orphanage because they just weren't able to go to work and also find safe child care for their families. So this was a ministry of the Bolivian Mennonite Church. I had an amazing year looking after the kids, making friends with the daycare staff, and worshiping at my host family's church. And over time, I gradually learned more and more Spanish. And one of my dreams is to be able to actually go back to Bolivia for a visit and take my family, Billy and Natalia, to meet my host family, Ona and Lucy. That would just be wonderful. Now, every year the SALT program sends volunteers, like what I did, from North America. But also every year, the same program has a flip side to it, and that's called IVEP, the International Volunteer Exchange Program. And so they take volunteers from other places outside of North America and send them to Canada and US for a year. So it's not a direct exchange where one person leaves, another person comes in their place, but it's more, they have candidates interview for the program, and they send them then to different places according to their qualifications and their interests. So the IVEPers spend a year here in North America living with a host family or community agency and volunteering in a local organization, often through the Mennonite Church, and learning English and just experiencing North American culture. And I should add, the host family, Ona and Lucy, who hosted me in Bolivia, had themselves been IVEPers in the United States. And so this year, I was given a wonderful opportunity to myself host an IVEPer. And talked about it with my family, and we decided to open up our home to host Sharon Das from Bhilai, India. She's living with us for 1 year on the IVEP program, and she is volunteering full-time at the Mennonite home. She's a speech-language pathologist and speech therapist, and she's very qualified, and we're very grateful to have her here in Canada. So we decided that it would be a great opportunity today, since we have the IVEP group with us, to hear a little bit more about the IVEP program and hear a little bit more from Sharon about her experiences here. So Sharon, if you'd like to come on up.
Praise the Lord. All right, we are working here, so that's great. All right, so Sharon has taken some awesome photos, so I'm going to scroll through here. Her pictures, let's see. Oh, I'm going the wrong, oh, there we go. All right. Do you want to share with us about who's in this picture?
Okay, this is my family. In the first corner, my parents, and then my sister and brother-in-law. And some of you know that December 2nd, they are blessed with a son, and he's my little nephew. And then me and my brother, and in our family, we have a pet dog. So my dog, Scooby.
So Sharon, what made you decide to apply for the IVEP program, and what was that application process like?
I am a Mennonite, and I already knew about this program, but first I was not at all interested to be a part of it because I have to leave my family and my country. However, my family wanted me to give in a try. So I decided to at least give an interview, and I got selected. And in process for application, we have to give names to our pastor in our church first, and then they will send to main conference, MCIM from MCI, Mennonite Church in India. Which then they will take interviews, and then they send their names to MCC India, and then we give interview there in MCC India office, and then we get selected from there. So this year, when I was giving interview, there are 20 more young adults were there, and from India this year we three, me myself and. Chotu and one more guy, Sumant. They are here as an IVEPer, and two more are selected for Yaman program.
All right. So it was quite an intensive application process, actually. So tell us about what was the hardest part about leaving India.
Hardest family, leaving behind family, and as I am a speech pathologist, it's not considered as a very good profession there. It's like everyone wants to be a doctor or engineer. So if they are not selected to be in those profession, they will go some. They will decide for the other thing. So my career was being a SLP, a speech language pathologist. So I was like, okay, I have to leave my family, my food, and then my career too. So that was the hardest part for me.
So tell us about, what is your church in India like? What church do you go to? And tell us a little bit about it.
As I told you that my conference is Mennonite Church in India, and there are two more conferences in India as a Mennonite, MB Missions and BGCMC. Those churches are also part of the MCC India. And my church name is Mennonite Church Bhilai. We have 250 family members, and these numbers are just who are baptized. So there are children also. So all around total, I think there will be 300. And this is the part.
So you're saying you have 300 people probably in your church?
Yes.
So how many Mennonite churches are in your state?
India has 29 states, and I am from Chhattisgarh, exactly central part of India. In that one state, I have 23 churches. Before it was 22, but recently when I was here, in September, there one more church started in the state of Chhattisgarh. So there is 23 Mennonite churches in one state.
That's amazing, 23 churches in your state. Mm-hmm. So do you know how many Mennonites or Anabaptists are in India?
Yes, India is considered as a largest Mennonite group all over the world, if we consider the Mennonite World Conference. Brethren in Christ have around 10,000 members, and all Mennonite churches, that is MCI, which I am from, in total, they have around 4,000 members. So all total 14,000.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing, 14,000. So is that 14,000 people or 14,000 churches?
14,000 people. And churches will be around, in my 23 plus, all over 15, almost 40 churches, Mennonite churches. And all total, the members, if we together, it will be 14,000 members, just the baptism one, because we don't calculate the without baptism. So 14,000 baptized.
That's awesome. So I was really interested to hear about how your family became Mennonites. And some people have asked, are you the first person in your family to be a Mennonite?
I am a fourth generation Mennonite. So when Mennonite Conference in India started, established in 1897 in India by missionaries from Indiana, and they went to the church Dhamtari, which is the main conference. So from my great grandparent, they adopted some of the children, because that was the time when India was struggling with the fights and everything. So some of them have very low income, so they adopted some of the children, and they took them to the Kolkata. Kolkata is where MCC India head office is, and from there most of the Mennonites started following the rituals of Mennonite churches. So my great-grandparent, then at the age of 18, he came back again to Dhamtari, and then my grandparent, and then my parent, and now me.
That's amazing. Your family has been Mennonite longer than my family has been. All right, I'm going to flip to the next picture here. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
It's my house, and in India, we are like in Bhilai majorly, most of houses are like this, and there are, if you roam around to go for a walk, and in every garden there will be a mango tree. So all the green parts, green plants and trees are there, are all of mango trees.
I'm jealous of your mango trees. All right, so tell us what this picture is.
This is my church, Mennonite Church Bhilai, which is decorated for Christmas. It's a Christmas lighting, so it's decorated for Christmas. And it's interesting, all the Mennonite church in India are red in color, but this church is white in color. I wanted to know why it is white in color, so I asked my pastor, with the daring that why our church is white in color, because every church in India is red in color. Even this Mennonite church is red in color. So they were like, we want to become different from others. So that's why I didn't got the answer very correct manner, but I was like, okay, that's good. We are different. We are unique.
I love the Christmas lights there. So we've got another picture here. It's a little more blurry, but you can see down below that there are people holding candles down at the bottom. Can you tell us about your church's special Christmas traditions?
Christmas tradition is like adventure for me. Actually, for us, this is the candlelight service, 31st December, and even in Christmas, on Christmas Eve, we usually do the service and put candles on outside the church, and we have a carol singing. Youth involvement is the biggest thing in our church tradition for Christmas. In India, youth is like not the kids, it will be young adults, the one who are 18 plus, who are baptized till the age of 36, they are considered as young adult, and they are called as youth in India. So we do carol singing, and carol singing is like, we start carol singing in December 15 to till Christmas Eve. And every day we will start in Bhilai, we have to go to 250 family members, and we will separate the areas. According to areas, we will go all around. For in the evening at around 7 we start, and whole night we have to cover that area. So in the morning by 4 o'clock we complete and we go back to sleep, and then again next day we have to go for work, because we don't get a Christmas holidays and long vacation during the Christmas time as India, as Diwali vacation. We don't, like all people don't celebrate Christmas there, so we will just get Christmas day off, not for the 2 weeks off. So that is the one thing I miss, Christmas carols, family gatherings, and we play Secret Santa.
So you start caroling in the evening and you finish at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you go home, and then you get up at 7 or whatever and you go to work.
And the best part is, it's not like just for the young adult will do, it will be like kids, Natalia's age, from that age to whoever want to join us. And we will just sing and dance and go everyone plays. It's not like they will be sleeping, they will be like waiting for us to come.
And you do that for 1 week?
Yeah, for 15 December to 24th December.
So every night for...
Every night.
I'm not sure I have the energy to even think about that. It's pretty amazing. So tell us about, in what ways is the culture in Canada different from the culture in India?
Culture in Canada is a cold culture. It's very different from India. In India, you will always surrounded by people. Here you will get lots of your own time. But for me, that was the one kind of a best thing, because I like to read or draw something, so I engage myself in those things. But when you go to India, you will like, okay, I want to take a time out for not meeting new people, but they will be like, no, you are coming from outside, you must be homesick, so they will be always surrounding by you. It's like that is the main thing which is different, and the food definitely.
So tell us a little bit about how during this experience, how you've experienced God during this.
As I told you that here I got lots of own time. There are days when I was very feeling low. Ups and downs are usual for many of us, but for me it's like I like to read Bible before going to work, pray before going to work, and after coming back home, before sleeping, I like to read Bible. the same thing and prayer. But when I was here, during this time, usually I used to read Bible, and if the day will be very frustrating or I'm feeling very low, before reading Bible, I usually ask God, like, give me the verse what you want me to talk with today. And most of the time I got the verse from the Bible, which gave me comfort and peace. So every day whenever I read my Bible, I feel like I am one step more closer to God. And I can see that that verse, whatever I am reading, it gives me so much peace and comfort. And again, next day I'm all ready to do the new things and do my work in more positive way.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the church here in Canada is different from the church in India?
I feel church in Canada, as I told you, the involvement of young adults. So in India, if you go to the church, the way of worship is kind of similar how we do here, but the hymnal song, and we do praise and worship, all is are like conducted with the young adults. So we always, like, we young adults usually meet on Saturday evening and we practice for the next day hymnals, what we are going to sing. We will talk with our pastors and deacons and they will tell us the number, and then the same hymnals we sing here in Hindi, and we do a 15 minutes praise and worship. That is the different thing. And one of the thing is Holy Communion. For Holy Communion, we have a foot washing ceremony. And this is a baptism picture. So we usually have baptism like this. I think this is similar. Yeah. But for Holy Communion, we do the foot washing of foot, and girls will be washed foot for the girls, and boys will be the boys.
Okay. So the scripture verse that we read from today, Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8, I found that verse really meaningful during my time on SALT. And I'm wondering if this scripture text has any special meaning for you.
Actually, as I have my special test, but it's like, as I told you, I was not at all interested to be in this part, and just because of my fear, my afraid, and I was, every time when I gave my interview and visa interview to selection, everything with the hope of rejection, I just don't wanted to be a part of it. But later on, with the career and everything, every possible way, whatever I was afraid of, God's will was there. And he gave me study leave to, when I will go back, I can join my job again. I don't have to search a new job. And everything, whatever I was scared of, he gave me a path. So, and I found a verse which gave me a very peaceful comfort, and I want to share with you. That's in Joshua 1, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I was very afraid when I was leaving India to leave my family, my culture, and with all the things, how I'm going to do there. But when I found this verse that as God was with Moses, he is there for me for every time. And with this, every day, whenever I feel low or I am happy, he do the same thing. Whenever I read my Bible, every day I find a verse which he communicates with me.
Thank you. We are pretty much out of time, so I'm just going to quickly go through your slides. If you just want to say what each one is.
Okay. So as I told you about the carol, so you can see the kids, young adults, and backside the adults. All these are for carol singing. First we start in church, outside the church, and then we go for the for different family members group. The same. It's just because 3 o'clock they were sleeping. And as I told about the foot washing, So this is our Holy Communion. We do foot washing. We include foot washing also. This is for girls. And as I told you about the worship, praise and worship, so young adults and kids are doing together the hymnal song and the praise and worship. We have every Saturday, we have a young adult meeting. So we will sit and we will, whoever is present there, we will go for the young adult meeting. And we do every Friday, there is a fasting prayer. So we pray for the world, we pray for the church and all the surrounding, whatever will be the news. And then we will fast for whole day. And then in evening, we young adults sit like that and we worship, we sing a song. And then we pray together by sitting like this, holding hands together.
So your young adult group fasts every Friday?
Every Friday.
For the whole day?
For the whole day.
Wow.
And this is a young adult of my church. I am in the middle somewhere. And this is my group. And these are the kids. They are doing the Christmas skit.
I think that's the end. Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's we'll pray together. All right, let's pray together. God, we give thanks for all the IVEPers who are here with us today, who made the choice to leave their homes and their families and their churches and to come and to experience Canada and the United States for a year. We pray for your blessing, God, upon each person. We pray that they will have a rich and meaningful time and that they'll experience you in very real and present ways, God. We pray you help them to grow deeper in their faith, and we pray that you keep them safe and bless their return home as well. Help them to continue making a difference in their homes and communities upon their return home. So we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.